Good morning. Welcome to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. You're going to hear from men staying with us about their journeys with addiction and/or homelessness, their struggles and their triumphs, and how, with the help of Neighbors of Hope, they're learning that through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here is the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good morning. Good.
All right. For today's edition of Word Made Flesh, we decided we would visit David's writing in the book of Psalms, Psalm 51, specifically. It's 19 verses, and so I think I'll try and read those somewhat quickly so we have ample time to do our reflection on that. But David writes in Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, and you alone, have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence, and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived of me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God. O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices and burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar."
Confession.
Yeah. You're right. Confession. It's David pouring out his heart, seeking mercy, acknowledging his guilt, and wanting cleansing and pardon.
See, I told you Psalms were confessions, Pastor Steve.
They are. They are. All right. Initial responses. What jumps out at you? What would you like to highlight?
Psalms in the Bible. There, you said they were like songs, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're poetry, oftentimes used lyrically.
Me being a musician makes me think a lot about when I confess, because I said earlier how when I play songs, it's more along the lines of confessing. So I could play a nasty song, but it would be me confessing, and I shouldn't feel guilty to be confessing like that. I don't know. Me and Jeff last night talked a lot for like an hour, and it's really cool how things sort of come together like that, because we just started talking, and I know Jeff's a really good guy, and started talking to him, and it was more along the lines of confession, so it's kind of cool to see how everything kind of intermingles itself. And I think music and Psalms, the book and Psalms, is a really good way to exemplify my appreciation for Jesus Christ and God Almighty.
Good. Good.
And also, to thank the evil in the world for continuing to, give hope, honestly, in a way. I mean, if evil is as evil as it is, then there has to be the hope, which is...
Well, okay, you know, and David mentions early in here that, this is my evil way,
yeah.
Right? But he's asking for pardon or forgiveness from that, that God's mercy. But we have to confess our contribution and our participation in evil,
yeah.
Right? Could you just elaborate a little bit on, I mean, you talk about how when you play music, it kind of has this confessatory component to it.
Yeah.
How does it impact you? If we're confessing, do you feel better? Does it give you new life, new hope?
Well, I'm a very empathetic person, so I would say it'd be more along the lines of the empathetic feeling towards another. Because when I play to a person. I don't play to the room. I play to a person, or I play to, you know, an individual or individuals individually. Because that's why music's so great. But I feel the empathetic feeling of how another person would be feeling if I was in that position. So... I'm going to stay on confession right now because that's, there's fun and then there's confession. But confession, I'd play a nice song, just like a nice melody, and, I'd be confessing. Or, you could kind of tell by how I'm sitting or how I'm, how I look, if I'm confessing or not, or if I'm having fun. That's a different story.
But how does that impact you? I mean, if you think about, if I've...
That gives me gratitude to know that somebody knows that there's something cool.
So there is this kind of like burden lifted, is what I was...
Because
oftentimes, if we're carrying around the gravity of our guilt...
Yeah.
Confession means I'm really, what's inside of me, I'm going to share it.
Yeah,
sometimes that's verbally,
the sharing,
and in doing so, I feel almost free.
Yeah.
Like the burden of guilt's been lifted off of me. I'm still responsible,
yeah.
But I'm just not carrying it alone.
My ideas of confession are more along the lines of it's work.
Sure. Yeah.
I work playing,
sure.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I work things. I don't confess because I feel guilty. I confess because I like to work. And I like to work because I know I'm going to work to get to heaven. And I'm not just going to get to heaven by being lazy. That's me personally.
Well, yeah, I don't...
I know that there is wide concepts that involve that. But that's what I believe, is I work...
Well, I think our faith does call us to work. Faith without works is dead, James says. We don't work to get to heaven, but because we're heaven bound, we have things we need to be faithful to.
Yeah.
You were going to say.
I think it's been broken down in like many different avenues to look at it. I mean, I think you can really look at it. Not only is David is calling out himself, because he's been judging himself so harshly that he rightfully so, like he feels like he's the one who created a problem. He put somebody to death to be able to take something from them. So he already had this guilty thing in there because he couldn't go and take this woman Sheba from, he couldn't take her until the husband was out of the way. So he created a scenario for him to basically murder someone to get. So he put himself there. So he led himself to do this stuff, and he feels so much pain. He's so hurt. He's so broken that he realizes he cannot heal alone. He cannot get over this because he cannot forgive himself. And so he needs God's help. He needs God's help to help him get through this and to really show, but to do that he has to admit his faults. He has to admit where he played a role and these decisions played a role in his life. These life decisions have created this pain in his life.
Yeah, I mean he talks about I was a sinner when I was a zygote. I mean, it begs the question: Do we fully comprehend the power and the depth of our sinful nature? For him, since I was a zygote, since I was in my mother's womb, and then to identify what that sin is, we must measure it against a certain morality, and for David, it's the morality of God. Right, and so you're right. He pursues his pleasure, and then all of a sudden realizes, I have violated the very boundaries of the morality of which I have established my life on.
Which then, in return, is if we are going to put all of our faith and trust in God, like we're supposed to, but he gives us the choice to not do that if we don't want to.
History, yeah.
But if we're going to do that and we're going to follow his way, then we need to trust the process. And so really the idea is the only way we are going to get healing in our life is to allow the person who has hurt us to really accept their own faults. By us putting judgment on that person, for us to make the decision that they should live or not live, for us to make the decision of how they spend their conviction, their punishment, we will never feel good inside because we felt like we had this. We have to free ourselves. We have to allow them to be judged by God. Allow God to make the decision what's best for their judgment, not for us to make that judgment either. And the only way they're going to get free from it themselves is by admitting their own.
Yeah. Yeah. You got anything you want to add there, John?
I like the fact too that he's basically calling himself out on what he's done wrong and going before God and asking for God's help and actually having the faith to rely on God to help him and then also having the willingness to take that what he's learned and take that mercy and show other people what it's done for him. Be willing to help others.
Yeah, right. Haven't we all been there at some point? Lord, if you would grant, I promise the rest of my life I will, right? I mean, there's this kind of bargaining that's going on. And there is some of that. What's beautiful, what verse is that? Verse 10, where he uses this language, create me a clean heart. That word create is the same Hebrew word that's used in the beginning of creation, where God created. So you're right, he has this level of faith, this level of trust in God, that God as creator can create this clean heart, this purify, sanctify my innermost being, the very center of what it means to be human. And in doing so, then my proper response to that is praise and adoration and sharing with others. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts?
I mean, I'm really on the... Because lately... And I'm going to confess right now. No, I'm just kidding. I've been playing guitar. I just can't move my fingers right. I can't think of, good rhythms right. And... I can't make the sounds and music that I really want to make. And it's just, I'm in a place where I really have been thinking a lot, and difficult for me to kind of do that stuff when I have, extra weight on my shoulders and, just hard to, it's not impossible, it's just it's just harder, you know. So, yeah.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate you sharing on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we can meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry, our women's and children's ministry center, the Blessings and More Donation Center, our Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, Woven Hope Women's Boutique, and of course, this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Currently, we're also in the process of establishing our first Good Neighbor Center. To find out how you can become a neighbor of hope, visit neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.